should have been moving a little bit to that music beat. That's the Soweto String Quartet with Millennia, the title track of the 1998 album. And they still keep going strong. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. And on Free Your Mind Fridays, we get to You get, should, I should say, you get to take the conversation wherever you want it to go. Hopefully, you have a strong opinion about something. Hopefully, you are sharing with us the end results of what you yourself have been thinking about and the conclusion that you've come to, and you are sparking conversations between and among us. We really don't talk as much as we ought to build community, and this is what this is all about. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's start with Bruce from New York here on the air.
Hello, good afternoon, Trish.
Hello, how you doing, Bruce?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
Okay.
Okay, great. Trish, I am calling today on the matter regarding Press TV's Marsa Hashemi. She has been arrested since last Sunday by United States government. Well, abducted, not arrested. That may be the more technical term. And she's supposed to appear in court today. Nobody knows much about why she's being arrested. But we cannot ignore the geopolitical import of this. Especially with people like Bolton and the Secretary of State in power in this country, and a feckless president who doesn't understand much about anything. Yeah? But I'm thinking today, and I have been for the last week or so, if it could happen to Marzia Hashemi, I think it could happen to you or it could happen to me. I haven't heard much coverage of this in American media. Though it's true, I don't watch much of it. But I'm rather concerned that a journalist who can be taken into custody almost in Guantanamo fashion, somebody who is a citizen of the United States, right? And not be allowed to have rights, habeas corpus, not allowed to have a lawyer. And then when you have our sons now, our children are being brought into to this matter as witnesses. I mean, I wasn't aware that people can arrest you and have you give evidence maybe against yourself or cooperate with them on a case that you may not have no interest in cooperating with them on. Have you been watching this these developments, and what are your own thinking your own thinking on this matter?
Yes, I've been watching it, but I have some thoughts on it. It is interesting that there isn't as much concern about it as, and it's not that one should be more prominent in the news than the other, but I'm looking at the reasons and what could be the reasons for it. And we saw a lot more and still continue to see a lot more agitation around the death outside of the country of Khashoggi, Jamal Khashoggi. And, there's a lot of genuine concern. But Marzia Hashemi is an African American woman. And although she, of course, is a journalist, she's on RT television, She has been a journalist for many years, and we're looking at the fact that we don't see journalist groups getting very agitated about her arrest, a very questionable arrest. We don't see the Association of Black Journalists putting itself into the discussion as to whether her rights are violated. We don't see the Congressional Black Caucus raising trouble, raising hell over what is happening to her. I've been waiting because the way they're handling this suggests that her arrest is supposed to serve a larger purpose. And I strongly believe that it has to do with U.S. policy in the current in the current configuration of, you know, Iraq, Iran, particularly Iran, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. I don't know which order of Islam she follows. I don't know whether it's Sunni
she's a
or
Shia Muslim. Yeah, Shia, yeah.
Okay. So she's a Shia Muslim?
Yes, she is, yes.
All right. So then that gives us another clue as to why she's being treated the way she's being treated. The Sunnis rule that part of the world. And she probably is being used as a pawn in this push and pull between Shia and Shia and Sunni, and further compounding that is U.S. policy, which favors Sunni but not Shia. The Sunnis are the majority in that part of the world. I have no idea what they possibly can get from this action other than causing greater rift. But then people have said that's the whole point of U.S. policy in that corner of the world, to pit Shia and Sunni against each other. And then with this recent killing of Khashoggi, it further underscores that is probably part of the angle that they're taking here to needlessly prosecute her just to flex their muscles. I don't know what the end game is, but I've been watching it very, very closely.
But
so,
sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You do, when I want her opinions and yours, for instance, or my own, I don't see any differences. I mean, what I don't have in common with you both is that you both are journalists, you know? And
yes.
I am surprised of the recklessness of this, although you expect the worst of them. I am so surprised, however, at the recklessness that they will go for a journalist, somebody who's well known as a journalist. I mean, what is to stop them from coming for you, for instance?
Oh, that nothing
because
is going to
stop
them
views,
from coming for me.
But you have views that are not dissimilar to hers, and you speak fairly forth. And I agree with almost everything you say, you know. I mean, what to stop them from coming for me, you know? I'm starting to worry now about different issues, you know what I mean? What is to stop these people from coming for me, right? I mean, if they can go for Hashimi, if they can go for you, I mean, what to stop them from coming for me?
Nothing is to stop them from coming for anybody. The thing is that we need to understand a little bit better exactly what the deal is here. We don't know who is who. and why they are doing what they're doing. We have no idea still.
What was the reason for
the killing of Khashoggi? What was the reason for that?
I have theorized that Khashoggi was a CIA agent and that they were protecting other assets they may have. And I thought that the media response was a deep state response, you know. And nothing has happened since then has served to dissuade me from that, right? But when it comes to Hashimi, she's right in the public's eye. She's right. I mean, we are seeing her on press TV every day.
I've been watching this very, very closely, and I am perplexed about what is happening with her. But more so, I am perplexed about no word coming from quarters that I fully expected to hear from. As I said, the Congressional Black Caucus has not done anything about it. We have new women in Congress now who themselves are Muslims, waiting to hear what they have to say. We have this ongoing effort by the U.S. to exploit the divide between Sunni and Shia. So that is an ongoing war. It's been going on for decades and decades. We don't know yet what it is we're looking at.
We have Guantanamo Bay, and we've had that for the last 18, 17 years. And I think Guantanamo Bay, its continued existence, should act as an example of what we may be dealing with here on the home front. Yeah, and look, and locking up black people. I mean, we still have black political prisoners in jail, some for up to 50 years. You know, this country is not operating outside its historical norms. I heard the government of Press TV call this country a few days ago an apartheid state. And I was a bit shocked at first. But when I thought about it for a couple of minutes, I mean, I can't argue now that they were wrong. You know, and you can't have a fascist state unless you have some type of racist construct under it. And I think we are at a fascist state for sure, right? But I just needed to voice my opinion about this woman. I mean, she seemed not to be a violent person to me. You know, I listened to her attentively.
She's not at all violent or any of these things, but there are lots of currents flowing in so many different directions. And don't ignore that at the core of one of these programs is to split up and put a divide and put different factions of Muslims against each other. This was long ago conceded as a way to control the rise of the Islamic world. Now, I also am surprised that we haven't heard from the Nation of Islam on this. So I'm studying the landscape to figure out what clues are we getting from what they're doing right now. There is an interest, of course, in getting black people agitated, Muslims in America agitated and divided along these lines of Sunni and Shia and Nation of Islam and so forth, to fracture any possible cooperation among Muslims, and not here in the United States alone, all around the world, especially in heavily Muslim countries. There are all kinds of things that don't look like they have as their aim the objective of fracturing the Muslim world. But there's a lot that we can insinuate based on the way the approaches are taken. You know, you take an innocent situation like this, a woman who has been a journalist for many years in the United States. She goes abroad. She is a Muslim woman, continues her job, and she's not hiding anything. This is nothing surreptitious. She's doing her work as a journalist and is quite respected. But we don't see, I've been looking, we don't see the agitation that we should see in her defense or to protect her. We don't see it from Congress, not even from the incoming Muslim woman. We don't see it at all. We don't see it from the established Muslim world in the United States, whether Orthodox or Sunni or Shia or whatever the strand of Islam. We don't see it happening there. We don't see any query being made by the women in Congress over what is going on here. We don't see it from the National Association of Black Journalists and the Association of Journalists, period. We don't see anything going on. So this case will emerge as a very significant case because I think somehow it factors into, for lack of a better term, that deep state program to fracture, totally fractured the Muslim world. And it is along the axis of Shia and Sunni. But they'll take anybody else in between to get that job done of creating dissension, creating friction, and creating even warfare. So we have a little bit more to see how people are reacting. But you're right on the money, that's for sure. Thanks, Bruce, for your call.
Okay,
thank you for your call today. Let's see who's up next. I'm trying to get my list going here. Okay, Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Lucrece. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you? You sound quite full of energy.
Yeah, I'm feeling great as always. What could you do but feel great? You know, if you feel not great, then, you know, it's just a Debbie Downer. But listen, what I'm really just basically calling for is this whole situation with the government shutdown.
Yeah.
I am honestly surprised that it has lasted this long. And it seems as though there's no end in sight.
Oh, there is an end in sight. And notice was served yesterday where the Democrats have now made it very plain that the president has a choice. He can either resign or be impeached. So they've upped the ante. We'll see how he reacts to that.
Well, I honestly don't think that he could be intimidated by the Democrats. I truly believe that the man is so morally corrupt and so hateful and so narcissistic that nothing, I think, is going to affect him. Now, yesterday it supposedly came out that his former right-hand man, Cohen, he directed him to deal with the Russian government in regards to real estate. Now,
and also rigging polls and other actions.
But, you know, honestly, as I've looked at this thing, from the last 3.5 years that this character has been really in the public eye in regards to this whole presidency, I'm starting to believe that, number one, I don't think that he ever thought that he would become president. And I think that he was using the process to, in a sense, set up deals with Russia in regards to building hotels and other things there, as also along with gaining access to money to continue to build his empire and being able to do other deals. And in the
thing is, you have to look beyond the business of building hotels and other buildings and so forth. It has been known for quite some time that his so-called empire in Manhattan had an unusually high number of Russians being featured as investors and so forth. The daughter son-in-law, Kushner. Kushner. And they were offering deals to Russian oligarchs if you purchased, you know, these multi-million-dollar units in their buildings, you automatically would get a special kind of visa. So, you know, this has been going on for years.
Yeah, but Dutrice, in all honesty, I don't think myself, this is just me thinking, I don't think he was an agent of Russia.
Well, we don't know.
I really don't.
The idea is,
let me finish this point, please.
Whatever you think shouldn't just be out there in the ether without some basis for saying
so. This is what I was trying to say to you. The only way I think that we could really know if he was an agent of Russia is through maybe his tax filing, his taxes, where you could see where the real money was coming from. Because remember, Chinese was buying properties from Trump. Other people were buying properties from Trump and Kushner and them. I just don't see where that makes him an agent for Russia against America, knowing the relationship that he's had with America for all these years.
You really don't understand the power elite. They have no allegiance to any country. They have allegiance
to money. I understand that, Dutrice, but I'm saying to you, his allegiance is to the dollar. And I don't think that makes him an agent for Russia against America. But let me just leave you with this. Let me just go to my final point. If Mueller is able to put forward any type of proof to the country, I don't think that the Republicans will impeach Trump based on what's going on right now with them not allowing the Democrats in the Congress to stop him from taking away the sanctions against this Russian oligarchy member.
As far as we know, but they have proof. They have proof of something. They spent all these months, millions of dollars gathering proof. They have proof. So
Dutrice, you're missing the question. The question is, based on the behavior of the last 3 days in regards to the sanctions dealing with the oligarchy member from Russia, the Senate has not gone along with stopping that. So what makes you think that they're going to impeach the man? That's what I'm asking.
But did you expect the Republican-controlled Senate to go along with that? It's just not feasible.
I expect to get the 60 votes. I expect to get the 60 votes. I expect enough Republican members to go to the other side to make the necessary 60 votes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Well, now, I don't expect that to happen with impeachment. I don't expect it to happen with impeachment, but sanctions, I do expect it.
Well, in a sense, we have to also appreciate that even as small as it is, as incremental as it is, you do see a kind of change in the attitude of many Republicans. This is not the kind of president they want. They believe Trump is a disgrace to Republicanism and to the party. They think that to have a kleptocrat running this country is a damn disgrace. They don't want any part of it. If you've taken a look at how many people have departed this administration, people with pretty high-paying jobs and with great responsibilities, they're checking out. They want nothing to do with this man. And so we can only hope. Hold a second. We can only hope that Mueller's investigation would inspire swifter action on the part of both the Senate and the House. Whether the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, goes along with it, well, that's one thing. But, you know, in the end, it is the sentiment of the people. When the people are saying he's got to go, and they are saying, no, he stays, they know immediately that there's going to be a price that they have to pay. So it is brewing. It is not all up to the U.S. Senate. There are a number of factors that are going to weigh in on where this goes from here. And what happens to Trump? He's not omnipotent. He's not one of those gods, you know. If he is a god, he still has clay feet. So let's wrap it up. Make your point.
Well, let me leave you with the shocker till the next time we speak.
Okay.
I have now, after the last 2 years, observed, and I really feel that based on what Clinton, Bush, Joe Biden, and the rest have done to black people in regards to policy, I have not seen one policy that Donald Trump has done that has solely affected black people in the same manner as the rest have. That's the next time to be discussed.
Thank you, TBD. Thanks a lot for your call today, Jay. Eric from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Eric, are you there?
In a while. Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect, time to come in with my point. Because I think that we're playing a dangerous game dancing amongst these devils, you know. I think that the Democrats have no standing, have no moral standing in holding up the government. And this goes back to a point that I made the last time I called. It was a while ago. But it was a point about them 60% of the Democrats voting to give Donald Trump $64 billion for the military, more than he wanted. This is $64 billion more than he wanted. So if you can give this man that much money to kill, what is another $5 billion? Now, we have to put this in the context of, you could care less about the people in this country. You could care less about their education. You've proven that. You have eight years, recent memory, not to mention all the other past, but recent memory, 8 years of giving a damn about the American people, right? Poverty is astronomical. I live in New York. You just go on the trains and you see the consequence of all of these people's policy, right? You look at what they did in Flint to American citizens. And now yes, they're pretending.
I have to pretend. I have to help you refocus your thoughts, Eric.
Okay.
And to bear in mind that you are ignoring political reality. You're expecting politics to be clean. You're expecting people to do the right thing. It does not happen.
Yatrice, I'm not ignorant of that. I understand
and
that
it doesn't happen with Democrats or the Green Party. Look what we had with the Green Party.
We pretend that it does, Yatrice. You're making my point. We pretend that the whole discussion of the Democrat position, the Trump position, ironically, you know, if we step back from the you know, this image that everybody's painting of Trump as the maniac and blah, blah. Step back and look. During the debate, Trump said, why, if we are against ISIS, Russia's against ISIS, Syria's against ISIS, why are we against Syria and Russia? He said that. Now, and this is to go back to a point that Lincoln a few shows ago was trying to make, where he was trying to make the connections for people to say that these things are they're integrally linked. You can't separate them. The people, American people,
Donald Trump does not have many original ideas of his own.
Can I just finish one point, please? The people refused Obama his Syria war, right? How did we end up in Syria? They did it anyway, regardless of the people's sentiments, right? Now, we're in Syria. Trump comes on the scene and he says, let's get out of Syria. Whatever we feel about his state of mind or whatever, that is a correct decision. You know, why would we now oppose that correct decision? Because Trump made it. Syrians didn't want Americans in Syria, right? The other powers that were invited into Syria were taking care of the job, right? America being in Syria was enabling ISIS. This is clear. Now, to get out of Syria, Trump is faced with a backlash from the Republicans, from the progressives, from the Democrats, which tells you how confused we are as a population that we're allowing the military.
Which tells you that he's getting incredibly good political strategic advice. That's all it tells you. If you could play one against the other, if you can ride through the middle, you know, like how Moses parted the sea, you go right down the middle and you're all right.
But I don't think he's right down
the middle. He's getting advice from people who, in their view, are devising a strategy for his continued survival and re-election. It's as simple as that. Trump doesn't have
strong feelings. Why are you assuming that?
Feelings. You don't agree. But if you look at it, you would see how, I mean, we super simplify these kinds of political issues, and we think we have a handle on them. We don't.
The people who he's supposed to be getting advice from are leaving. These are all the criminal generals,
he was there. Because they were willing to take a shot that he was equipped, intellectually equipped, to carry the ball. He isn't.
They are mass murderers. Are they intellectually equipped? Are they human?
These are mass murderers.
Mattis was a mass murderer in Fallujah.
Have to understand that military minds are very different from regular minds.
How is that possible? Why
it's possible because that's their job. If you read any of these philosophers, they tell you. How do you organize a society? You organize a society with people having particular jobs. They are trained from childhood to do these jobs. And the nation will depend on them to do their jobs. That's what the military is.
We're allowing them to be mass murderers. In all of these wars, all these so-called dirty wars, every time you read
what
after
you said
the fact,
they're allowing
Vietnam,
them to be mass murderers.
We
I'm not
are allowing them.
In favor of murder than anybody else. I'm not.
We won't tell the truth.
But I'm not so naive as to believe that the purpose of a military, an army, a navy, an air force, a coast guard, and these military organizations, they're not there to plant flowers.
The so-called founding fathers were against all of this militarism because they said inevitably it will squander your youth and your citizens. It will squander your bank. That's what they said. If we believe that the founding fathers were anything decent, you know, they were the military.
I don't believe in the founding fathers at all. I disregard the founding fathers.
Me neither. Well, but I'm saying those are military minds.
So they have nothing to say to me. The point I'm making is in our
military minds forever.
But in our discussions, we have to somehow embrace the realities in which we are living. We cannot be Puritans about it. We have to evaluate it on its own terms. Do you really expect a country like the United States to have a prolonged period of peace no matter what? It won't happen. If that is your expectation.
Okay, it doesn't, just because it won't happen doesn't mean that we have to argue the other side. We have to call the reality what it is.
Other side.
What it has been doing has been mass murder all over the world. You know?
Well, look, we have the church is one huge mass murderer.
Yeah,
we don't get into these discussions. The idea is that when you look at history, you look at history not to reorganize the facts and reorganize the realities, but to understand them. You know, this idea that retroactively we can correct errors. No, we can't.
It's not about correcting errors. It's about preventing the same errors from getting repeated year after year after year, you know? So they're holding up the government on the pretext that they care about the citizens that are coming from down south. When they have been there forever.
Up the government? You're not clear.
And the
who
Republicans.
Is holding up the
Trump
government?
Trump just came on the scene. They had the chances. But what they did is they actually
made
the these problems
who
worse.
Who is holding up the government?
Both the Democrats and the Republicans. And Trump especially. For both the Democrats and the Republicans. Why? Because they're arguing false morality. They're arguing as if they care about these people. When they were interred, those same people were put in these dungeons when Obama was president. And guess what? You talk about Honduras. Look who affected Honduras. Look at who created the disaster that Honduras became. Look at Venezuela and when it became a disaster. So the problem is the people who have been there for 20 years are now getting to tell us that they care about the people that they've been destroying for 20 years.
You want to argue the point. You're arguing your point from a false morality.
How is it false?
It's false because you are taking the subject out of its proper perspective. And therefore, you would naturally come to a false
Dietrich,
conclusion.
What
you
is
have
the
to
proper
look at
perspective?
History. We have to look at history.
If I create a disaster in your house, can I be the one that comes and says, I'm going to fix you? You're
not,
ill?
But your point doesn't make sense when you ask questions like that.
How can it not make sense? If
the
I create the disaster that Honduras is.
We can't both talk at the same time. Should approach these kinds of things, and that's what I'm trying to get people to do. See each thing, even though related, but see each thing in its proper perspective. And we don't need you to extend the argument into areas where it doesn't belong. You could always find governments all over the world doing the wrong thing, the absolutely wrong thing. But what is, how do you look at a situation in as many dimensions as possible? And, you know, we are quick, and for us, for many of us, it is enough that we could moralize about something instead of appreciating as many dimensions of the issue as possible. Then you can see where things went wrong, where things did not work, where people were corrupt.
What has been the difference in the game plans of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Yemen? It's all the responsibility to protect. It's all this falsehood that ended up emptying Libyan banks and all their resources, stealing oil in Iraq, stealing oil in Syria. This is all the same. It's the same game plan that is being repeated. And because we want to look at each event as an isolated issue,
you're miscasting what I'm saying.
The same game plan over and over and over again.
You can't
possibly
believe that I am so naive as to not see the relationship between and among all of these.
But a lot of
I just finished talking with Bruce earlier, and we were talking about a journalist. Ostensibly, it's about an African-American journalist who now, she's Muslim, and she's reporting on RT TV, and these things are happening. And what did I say? I said, we notice and we study what is happening before we make a definitive pronouncement as to what is going on there. The same thing with Khashoggi. The very first thing I said about the murder of Khashoggi, or the reported murder of Khashoggi, is we need to understand who he was. We don't know. And everybody has all these opinions without asking the basic question, because they assume that they know. You need to study. We need to study things a little bit more to get clearer pictures and to inform our actions. But we're quick to repeat a script produced by organization A and organization B without trying to figure out, well, wait a minute, do they know what the heck they're talking about? And they don't. Very often they don't. I can't
Anywhere, you know? I don't hear my position because I don't hear anybody saying the Democrats are in no position to be holding up anybody's government.
Everybody's been pointing fingers at the Democrats for all kinds of things.
Let's see what he's going to do with it. Let's see what he's going to do. Call his bluff. You know, money is no issue for these people. There's no issue. Call his bluff. Are you going to build the wall? There's a wall there, and they're going over it. What's the wall?
Let me ask you. If this is not about a wall?
Exactly.
But what if it is not about a wall?
I'm absolutely sure it's not about the wall.
Okay, what is it about?
This is about control. This is about power. And this, most of all, the way I think about it, this is about them not wanting this new cannon on the scene. You know, he says too much stuff that if you stop and listen to it, even though it's simplistic, maybe he's absent-minded, maybe he's crazy. But guess what? The lies about Iraq are true. And if you're a white person in the Midwest, in the Rust Belt, right, that is hearing your president say that, oh, yeah, that Bush and that Obama, guess what? They were selling your children for a lie. Your children for a lie. And spending $6 trillion for a lie.
Did we really need to hear that?
You don't think so?
do we really need to hear that from Donald Trump?
Why not?
As if he's not playing with our minds?
Why not?
Everybody's
my point is,
with our minds.
Why would you sacrifice your kids
to hear
and $6 trillion for a lie?
He has no credibility. And that's how he ought to be regarded. Zero credibility, him and his administration. So we should pay no attention to him at all. We don't see him. We don't hear him. He doesn't exist.
You have a president of the U.S. of America who...
Well, you could say so. I don't say so.
All of the people that have been in power forever are running away from. They're running
off.
We have
a mental patient.
That's fine, but these are rats running away from this mental patient.
President of the United States. You want to follow him and take him seriously? You go ahead.
These are rats running away from this mental patient because guess what? He's exposing them. He's exposing them, and he's
exposing
himself.
Anybody. Let me tell you this. Here's the truth, and we're going to end this piece. Here's the truth. The people have been unwilling to understand what they're dealing with. They refuse to admit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been unwilling to see it under Barack Obama. They refuse to see it under George Bush and under the Clintons. They are unwilling. They are unwilling. And until they are willing to remove the scabs from their eyes, don't have people tell you things. You study it for yourself. This is my whole
I agree 1,000%, Utrecht.
You've got to study.
And on that, I agree with that. I agree with
All
that.
Right, we agree?
That's been my whole point. Thank you.
We really agree. Oh, we really agree.
I know. That's been my whole point.
So much,
look at all of them
really.
Realize the horror they create.
I thank you for your passion. I thank you for your tenacity. I thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. It's one of the most intimate things a person can do. So thanks for calling in today and contributing. Henry from Chicago, you're up. What's going on, Henry? Oh,
hey,
Lordy.
Utrecht, how's it going? All right.
I need some whiskey.
All right. I want to wish everybody and yourself a happy and safe weekend.
Thank you.
I want to keep it local, but I want to also touch on some topics, and this all connects with the local thing that I'm about to say, because we've talked about this before on how it is very important to see who are the judges in the lower courts instead of the Supreme Court, and how the American injustice system treats poor black men and women. So yesterday, in Chicago, three officers were acquitted of conspiracy and cover-up from the Jason Van Dyke murder of Laquan McDonald. Now, what is interesting about this is everybody is so focused on Jason Van Dyke's trial. He's currently in a sentencing hearing, so we're going to find out how much time he's going to get. But the thing is that the important case was yesterday, because three officers who covered up the whole thing were acquitted. They were acquitted on the charges of conspiracy, and basically the blue code of silence was on trial yesterday, and they got off. Now we all know that the system of white supremacy, police officers are the front line of this. So basically, this is actually worse than Jason Van Dyke being acquitted of murder, because now the system understands that they can get away with covering this stuff up. Now, what's interesting, too, is the judge in this trial, her name was Dominika Stevenson. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago I was telling you about Ed Burke, the powerful alderman? Well, Ed Burke was on the Cook County Judiciary Board and recommended her as a associate judge of Cook County. These are not elected judges. These are appointed judges. So he was the one who rammed her through the judicial process to get her in that position so she can acquit these officers of conspiracy. Now, the thing is that, like I said, this ties back into what we've been saying before. We don't need to worry about Supreme Court judges. We need to worry about these lower court judges. And then we also need to worry about the system itself, which ties into why they are sending black folks into jail and why they're letting crooked and murderous cops get on the street. Because, for one of the attorneys who was the attorneys for the three cops, he was Jim McKay. He was part of a law firm with the judge before she became a judge. So they are partners. They are people who know each other. So this is something that needs to be focused on and paid attention to, because everybody's focused on Jason Van Dyke's trial, which is correct, but at the same time, we just witnessed the blue coat of silence getting off for conspiracy. So, I don't know what else to say on this, because I think this is actually
even worse. Let me ask you, in light of the outcome, and to me that is too late to react. There was more than enough time to prepare to react. What is the plan? People are justifiably annoyed. What you pointed out, the links are so glaring.
Well,
what is happening in Chicago now to focus attention on this outcome?
Well, Utrice, that is the problem. Not a lot of people are focusing on that trial, and they're focusing on the Jason Van Dyke trial. And the problem I have is in the courtrooms, all right, during that hearing yesterday when the judgment came down, there were more police in the courtroom than there were activists and people who are grassroots people, because the problem is that they fill up the courts during the Jason Van Dyke trial, but when this trial was going on with the three cops who were charged with conspiracy, there were more police people in the courtroom than there were the grassroots people. So my problem is, I think people are focusing on the wrong case.
You see, it's the wrong people focusing on the case. When you have a case of this magnitude, this significance, you need to have some serious legal soldiers in the courtroom also doing battle. The people who are there, and thank God, there are people who still are mindful enough and concerned enough to show up in court as testimony of their concern about injustice. But they're not the ones to carry the ball. This is a legal fight. And this is why I say communities have to act smarter. We need to form funds that would have some kind of money available to allow people to take on these cases, to file appropriate briefs representing the people's interests. This is how we ought to think.
You can't
think that you're going to get over just by being there, and that's one half of the problem. But this is a legal fight. We have to wrap it up, I'm afraid. But you make a very good point. But I'm also saying we have to change our tactics. They haven't been working for decades, and we keep doing the same thing over and over again. We become predictable, and we lose. because we simply will not change our tactics. We have to have our generals in the courtroom. We need to have a presence in the courtroom to indicate this case is not going to proceed as usual. We will be filing briefs at every corner. We're filing briefs. Well, folks, we're out of time. Thank you so much. This has been a very rousing edition. I enjoyed it immensely. Thank you so much for contributing your thoughts. Surround yourselves this weekend with positive people who add immensely to your life. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.